listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 21st, 1995.
Here is a fax from a very talented person. This is the guy who's doing my book cover. The cover for my book, he's the artist. And he says, "Hey Art, Patrick has probably saved banks a lot with this one incident. He's saving them money. I can't believe an arrogant bank officer can't admit their mistake and have lunch with Patrick. I can only hope that somebody associated with his bank heard your show and the word gets back to the bank. One listened to this and they would know the guy is very intelligent. He beat them and now he appears smarter than them. Also, when are you going to let me know about the cigarette on the book cover? Right now, John. And this relates to something else going on in the news. As you know, Franklin Roosevelt has been depicted for years and years and years the way he was, with a big cigarette holder in his mouth in profile. Now, I've got a choice of doing it's going to be a wonderful book cover, hardback book, by the way, my book, and there has been the choice of putting the cigarette, which, and I do smoke them, in with this incredibly wonderfully done art, or excluding the cigarette, and I hereby say include it. I refuse to go the way Roosevelt apparently is getting ready to go, and that is to have his image changed. I smoke, and while I'm not proud of it, I am certainly not going to play anybody's politically correct stupid game. John, put the cigarette in. I smoke them. It's real. I'm no Franklin Roosevelt. I didn't mean to compare myself, but in the sense that I'm not going to bow to the political correct crowd. They can all go jump in the largest lake they can find, long walk off a short pier, all that kind of thing. No, put it in is the answer. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hello. Hold on just a second. There
you go. There you go.
Radio.
Where are you?
I am in Havre, Montana on a cellular.
All right.
And I'm real sorry I missed Patrick. I tried to get in.
I understand.
I want to compliment him. I hope he's still listening. With the integrity that he's shown in this whole ordeal. And he should expect no less than the same from the bank.
Well, I guess I agree with that. In other words, the guy is not saying he's going to keep the money. He's saying, though, that the law, even though it may be a quirk, really is, in his view, on his side. And all he wants is maybe a lunch and a letter and his bank account back. That's all.
Yeah, and that's not a reasonable, unreasonable request.
I think not.
I would like to have seen him put it in an interest-bearing account in another bank.
Yeah, I thought about that myself.
The hardship that he's going to encounter over this, if any, it'd be nice to know he got a little something out of it if he had to give it back, at least enough to pay for his time and trouble.
Well, maybe he'll end up doing us all a favor. Now, I may have given him this idea and somebody criticized me for that, but I'll tell you something. I'm sick of getting those checks that really aren't checks myself. And if this stops that practice, then I'm all for it.
I agree completely.
So
this is basically poetic justice for the little old lady in South Carolina that I read about a few years back that misunderstood the check and thought she already had won and went out and charged up on her credit card.
Oh, no. Now, see, I hadn't heard that one. Oh, God, that's awful. You mean somebody got one of those oh, that's terrible. Little old lady in South Carolina thought she had actually won the money when she saw the check, went out, ran her credit cards. Well, that's very sad. Some of the checks do look very, very real. And what really, I guess, annoys me more than anything else is they put them in the kind of envelope where you can just see a part of the check. You know, like a one and a whole bunch of zeros after it, and your name. So there is a kind of a poetic justice to it. And frankly, a couple of people hit Patrick pretty hard on the moral angle. But the truth of the matter is, if you listen to him, he does want to give the money. He's trying to give the money back. He would like to give the money back. And his demands, if you want to call them that, are not that outrageous. Or maybe from your point of view, they are. But I mean, the guy's got a life. He's got to continue to have a bank account. And I don't know. I'm sure we'll get more reaction. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Sir, let me ask. I'm not even sure I have the right number.
Wait, you might not. Who are you trying to reach?
I'm trying to reach Art Bell.
Well, you've got the right number then. You're on the air.
Question. Did you hear the deal? Let me turn this lower. Did you hear the deal about the James Norman?
Okay, turn your radio on.
I got it off.
All right. James Norman, no.
Works for Forbes magazine.
Yes.
He wrote an article, and Forbes would not publish it, so he got media bypass to publish it.
Right.
False.
Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of...
You're aware of this.
I'm aware of the story, yes. By the way, where are you calling from?
From Louisiana.
Louisiana, all right. So, yes,
all right,
bypass.
Let me say this. I think I heard the end of a story yesterday as I was coming in from the vet that I think that James lost his job. James Norman lost his job because of this.
Because he published that article?
Yeah.
Well, was he under exclusive contract to Forbes?
Here's what they told him. I'm not sure, but they told him, you can publish it somewhere else, but we can't publish it. But then he said that that Forbes went on to publish it. I tried to get hold of the magazine. I don't know when they come out. I don't know. But anyway, the White House, this is what the last I heard yesterday, the White House told Forbes not to publish it, to quash this. They didn't want this out. You know, that is a damn shame.
Well, it is. It's not, I cannot confirm any aspects of that story, of course. I guess Forbes, it would depend on the nature of the contract that he had with Forbes. I don't know whether he was under contract or whether he was a freelance journalist that did work for Forbes actually on the payroll. It's going to depend on a lot of facts, and we're going to have to wait and see. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, turn your radio off.
He's taking it outside. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Patrick.
Yes.
First, I'm Marion from Reno.
Yes.
And I was in total agreement. The minute I heard it, I was going, that's great, because several years ago, they messed up, First Interstate messed up my account.
Yes.
And deducted $200 from it that I hadn't spent. So I stayed up all night, got all my records in order and everything, took it down to their bank.
Right.
And the teller said, well, I can't look at it. If you want to have this fixed, you have to hire an accountant for $35 an hour.
Really?
Wouldn't even listen to me, wouldn't even talk about it, and I ended up $200 that I couldn't afford. So I'm just glad that, you know, that he's drawing attention.
So to you, it is poetic justice, eh?
Yeah, it is. I don't think he's going to keep the money. By the way he talked, and
I agree with you. I mean, that's awful. If you have all the records to prove your case, then somebody, some human being at the bank, should be willing to sit down with you and go through it, just as a service to a customer.
Right, and especially what I really appreciated. I mean, $200 to them is.
Not
that big of a deal.
But
to me, it was a whole week's wages, you know, and
No, I hear you. I hear you, and thank you. I agree with that lady. That's awful. You know, and it's not just First Interstate, but it's all of the banks. Things are changing, and banks are becoming more technical. Everything's being handled now by computer. And there's less chance of human interaction. There was a day in America where you knew your teller. You know, you knew her by name. And, you know, things like this didn't get in the way. If there was a mistake, you sat down with them and you worked it out. A bank was like a partner. And I'm sure from a PR point of view, they want it to appear that way today. And in fact, it should be that way. But it is changing, and all of us are becoming numb. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, York. This is Milton in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hello, Milton. How you doing?
Real good. You know, I was trying to get a hold when Pat was on the air, because I work at a bank here in Phoenix, and I can kind of understand a little bit about where he's coming from. And you had made a comment about how they process the items.
Yes.
Well,
I asked a question. In other words, does a human do that, or does a machine do it?
Well, the machines do it. You see, what happens when a person takes a check into the bank, they take it into the tellers. Tellers put all their figures into it and give the money out. That's basically all they do. And then it goes over to a bunch of other people who sit there, and all they do is encode the dollar amounts on the checks. And then from there, it goes into the machines which processes the checks, and it all does it electronically. And if all those little numbers at the bottom of the check are on there, then the item is good, and it'll pocket, and nothing will ever be seen until it's caught sometime later down the road.
So then how do you feel about his position? I mean, you heard what he wanted. You know what happened.
Yeah, I was at the same time he was on the air, I was also on his web.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was. I kind of brought everything over down onto my system.
So you've got a photograph. I hope somebody will take some of what's on his web page and send it to me, attach it to a message on AOL, and I'll get it up on our bulletin board, too.
Well, you know, I'll see what I can do about that.
Would you? The trouble is it can't come in some kind of a format other than an actual GIF. It's got to come GIF or I can't use it.
Okay, yours is what, artbell@AOL.com?
artbell@AOL.com. That's my email address.
Okay, but like I was saying, you know, if the machine reads all the microline down at the bottom, does any check, you'll be able to see it.
What about this? How do banks know? I have occasionally made a mistake, and First Interstate always caught it, you know, forgetting to endorse a check.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't endorse the check.
Well, that, I believe, was a teller's mistake, because they're really the only ones who would catch that.
Can you imagine? All right, are you a teller?
No, I'm not. I work in the operations center.
Is it possible to understand how a teller, I mean, $95,000, that's a big check.
That is.
And how could a teller look at a check for $95,000 and not check to see that there was an endorsement?
You know, I think that's a mistake the teller make, and if I was, like, the manager of that branch, I wouldn't have that teller there.
Mm.
But that's not a position I'm in, unfortunately. But most of the time, I have seen so many checks come through that have said non-negotiable, but people try to cash them, and tellers pass them right through. Anything from a buck and a half on up to...
Really? So you mean a lot of this may be done and never caught?
That's very possible.
Wow. All right, thank you very much for the call. Wow. That's amazing.